I'd like to welcome everyone tonight to this joyous occasion commemorating the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ on this Christmas Eve. And as we're about to now go into our message for tonight's Christmas Eve service, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we now pray as we draw near to you in fellowship by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you would speak to us your truth by the illumination of your Holy Spirit. We confess, Lord, that by our own powers, by our own natural ability, we cannot receive the things of God and the things of the Spirit of God. And so we pray that your supernatural spiritual work would take place tonight through this, your very word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this text that we'll be considering this evening, we are introduced to this man named Simeon. There's not much that we're told about Simeon, only that he was in Jerusalem, that he was a righteous and devout man, and the most striking detail of all, it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before seeing the promised Savior of God's people, the Lord's Christ. Verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Over 2,000 years later, as we reflect on what Scripture tells us about this man, Simeon, do we long to see the return of the Lord's Christ? What if it had been revealed to us by God that we would see the coming of Christ in our own lifetime? If we're among those whose heart cries out along with the Apostle John at the conclusion of the book of Revelation, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, wouldn't each day be filled with anticipation if that was the case? Wouldn't we wake up each morning wondering, could today be the day? That must have been how Simeon lived each day since learning from God that he would see the Lord's Christ in his lifetime. Today could be the day he would see the consolation of Israel, the day he would see God's promised salvation with his own two eyes. Well, we read in verse 27 of our text that this much anticipated day arrives when Joseph and Mary bring the newly born Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to be dedicated to God. Meeting the family in the temple and taking up Jesus in his arms, Simeon declared by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Unlike the widely held misconceptions of the Messiah at that time, Simeon rightly understood the nature of the salvation that God would accomplish through Christ, whom he held in his arms that day. Simeon knew that the Lord's Christ was salvation that God had prepared in the presence of all peoples. As foretold by the prophets and confirmed by angels, the scope of this salvation was far greater than Israel's national deliverance from its political oppressors. According to the prophet Isaiah, the promised Christ would be for all the nations of the earth. Isaiah 49:6. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. The promised Christ would be a light for the nations of the earth because he would save God's people, chosen from every tribe, nation, and tongue, from an oppressor far greater than the Roman Empire or any earthly power or institution or ideology. The Lord's Christ would save God's people from the greatest oppressor of all, sin, as foretold by the angel who appeared to Joseph, the husband of Mary, Matthew 1:18-21. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This child, Jesus, as Simeon declared, was a light for revelation to the Gentiles. This child, Jesus, as Simeon declared, was for glory to your people, Israel. Over 4,000 years ago, God called Abraham out of Haran to a land that God would show him in order to make of him a great nation and to bless all the families of the earth. Today, peoples from the distant nations call on the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, because of the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, 1 Timothy 2:5. And through personal, heartfelt faith in this one mediator, peoples from the distant nations have been forever joined to the great nation of Abraham's offspring, this great nation of God's covenant people, this great nation consisting of all who trust in Christ. Not only did Simeon rightly understand the scope of the salvation that God would accomplish through the Lord's Christ, but he also understood that the Lord's Christ would be a stumbling block to many. Simeon understood that although many would be raised up by the Lord's Christ, it was also true that many would take offense at him and reject him as God's appointed Savior to their eternal downfall. Verse 33-34. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. This child, Jesus, declared Simeon, is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Many in Israel would be raised up by this child Jesus, but many in Israel would also stumble at Jesus, oppose him, and ultimately reject him, because the Christ of the prophets, the Christ confirmed by angels, Christ crucified for the salvation of the world from sin, contradicted their preconceived expectations of the Messiah, expectations that were not in keeping with God's word. We read in 1 Peter 2:7-8, so the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. And it is for the same reason that many today stumble at Jesus. Many today reject him to their own downfall. They want a Jesus who builds one's self-esteem, who assures them of God's unconditional acceptance, who is a teacher of social ethics, who is a miracle worker to emulate. But a Jesus of this grand scope, which Simeon rightly understood, this Jesus who died to save us from the dominion of sin, who died to deliver us from the course of this world, who died to grant us power to live holy lives by his Spirit, who died that we might receive adoption as sons and come under the Father's disciplinary love and transforming power, who died and rose again that we may know him as Lord over all and submit to him as such. This Jesus, many simply do not want. Yet this is Jesus. This is Christ crucified. This is the Christ of Scripture. This is the Christ of God's Word. When presented with the Christ who is, the Christ revealed, the Lord's Christ, as our text puts it, like the many in Israel, they take offense at him, oppose him, and reject him to their eternal downfall. But for the sin-sick soul, for the poor in spirit, for those who yearn to be saved from their sins, for those who despair of the world and its empty and futile course, for those who hunger and thirst for the righteousness that God accepts, for these who see their utter need for the salvation that God has prepared in the presence of all peoples and turn to the Lord's Christ, not the world's Christ, to these, and only to these, does Jesus liberate from captivity. Does Jesus liberate out of the dominion of sin? Does Jesus liberate out of bondage to the ruler of this world, the devil? Now, listen carefully to what Simeon declares next by the Spirit of God. Verse 34 to 35. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. This Christmas Eve, consider for yourselves, how do we regard the Lord's Christ? What are our thoughts towards him? Does the Lord's Christ, the Christ revealed in God's word, cause us to rejoice or cause us to stumble? Do we exalt in the Lord's Christ, the revealed Christ, the Christ of the prophets and confirmed by the angels, the Christ of Scripture, as Simeon exalted at the sight of him? Or do we loathe the Lord's Christ and prefer the world's Christ? The Christ of popular sentiment, the Christ approved and celebrated by those who love their sins, the Christ other than the Christ revealed in the testimony and doctrine of God's holy word. Which is it for us? This Christmas Eve, we may be struggling with many difficulties, experiencing a season of hardship and suffering. The year 2021 may have been the hardest year we've ever gone through in our lifetime. But despite our many troubles, if the Lord's Christ is the light that guides us, if the Lord's Christ encourages our spirits, if the Lord's Christ provides us with hope and moves us to give thanks and worship unto Him right now, tonight, at this very moment, then we can be assured that we have been raised up by Him out of spiritual death, out of sin's dominion, out of bondage to the ruler of this world, and into spiritual life, into God's grace, and into the freedom of Christ's salvation. But if the Lord's Christ darkens our thoughts with hostility towards God's word and provokes in us opposition towards His person and work revealed therein, in God's word, then we can be sure that despite whatever we may profess concerning Christ, despite the outward appearances of religious life, despite the worldly successes we may have attained, despite the admiration and praises people heap upon us in the church and outside of the church, we remain lost in sin, alienated from God, and outside the life of salvation. This Christmas Eve, let us then consider, has the Lord's Christ stumbled us? Do we regard the Lord's Christ as an object of offense? Or is the Lord's Christ the object of our hope, faith, love? Well, if He is the latter to us, then a miracle has taken place in our life. And that is what is necessary in order for the Lord's Christ to be the latter to us, the object of faith, hope, and love, a miracle. Nothing less than new birth. If He is the latter to us, then let us rejoice together tonight. For we, along with Simeon, have seen God's salvation, whom He has prepared in our presence, a light of revelation to us, and for glory to the true offspring of Abraham. Let's pray. Holy Father, on Christmas, it was not the world's Christ who came into the world, not the Christ of popular sentiment, not the Christ who is praised and loved by those who are in sin and love their sin and seek to continue to dwell under the dominion of sin. No, it's not the world's Christ. It was the Lord's Christ who was incarnate into the world. And it was the Lord's Christ who Simeon laid his eyes upon and took up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. This is the Lord's Christ. There is no other Christ. There are many imaginary Christs, many counterfeit Christs. And we know these Christs to be counterfeit because the world in its sin loves this Christ. This Christ does not require faith, does not require repentance. This Christ is a Christ of universal acceptance. It is a false Christ. No, the Lord's Christ is the Christ who came to save his people from their sins. This is the Lord's Christ, who is a light of revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel, the Lord of salvation. And so, Holy Father, we pray that tonight there will be no mistaking in our own hearts which Christ it is that we worship. If indeed tonight we worship the Lord's Christ, then I pray that tonight would be a night of rejoicing, because it really is the greatest reason to rejoice, not only tonight, but forever. A great miracle has taken place in our hearts. We should rejoice. We should be glad, regardless of whatever hardships we may be going through. But, Lord, if it is true that we rather do not like the Lord's Christ and rather prefer the world's Christ, then I pray that there will be no mistaking in our hearts that there's only one thing that we need to do. We need to repent and turn with heartfelt faith to Christ Jesus, who is the Christ Jesus revealed, the Lord's Christ, so that we may be saved from our sins. We pray, Lord, that your supernatural power, Lord God, would accomplish this end and purpose within the hearts of the people who are gathered here tonight. In Jesus' name.